everybody. It's your favorite part of the Who Would Win show. No, it's Ray. Anyway, Who Would Win show has a Patreon, and if you'd like to check it out, you can find it at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join in if you'd like to vote for future characters, talk to the infamous boardroom, and catch videos you can only find on Patreon, like outtakes or our bonus segments, Thunderdome, and the Third Degree. You can even join for free and get a heads up on our next battle before everyone else. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, just go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and take your place in the conversation. Now, I got a battle to go win. I'll see you Rainiacs on the other side.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dr. Manhattan sits atop the highest mountain, pondering existence. It is 11:15 a.m. I sit on a mountaintop, pondering existence. He drones to himself. It's funny. I have no knowledge of the future 5 minutes from now. It is then that another figure suddenly appears and sits right behind Dr. Manhattan. Right on time, I see, Manhattan remarks unflinchingly. As are you, the figure says, as Q materialized wearing a matching outfit to the rest of the Watchmen. You know why I'm here, Q continues. I do, Manhattan plainly replies. Both gods sit in quiet contemplation for but a moment, and then combined take a large breath. Both of them know that this could be it. It's the Watchmen versus the Foe Federation. It's nuclear physicist versus the Continuum. It's Dr. Manhattan versus Q. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only, the legend himself, Ray Stikanis. In today's episode, we have two omnipotent, omniscient, and overall reality-warping badasses in another epic battle. In one corner, you have Dr. Manhattan, a godlike being of immense power and detachment who embodies the consequences of ultimate knowledge and existential isolation. Those are the biggest words I know. And in the other corner, you have Q, a mischievous and omnipotent entity from the Q Continuum who delights in challenging Star Trek version of humanity with moral dilemmas while exploring the limits of their potential. That's crazy. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And yeah, you get this. This matchup has been discussed. It's been dissected. It's been talked about. It's been argued about for years upon years upon years. But never has it got a clear decision. That's Ray. It's never gotten the Who Would Win treatment until today, that is. Ray, I gotta know, what are your thoughts in today's matchup?
I'm a little bit confused. This Q, is that's from Star Trek? I guess I'm asking because I got a little confused by the boardroom. I've spent the last like 20 hours this week in like Reddit message boards trying to decrypt the writings of a vast right-wing conspiracy. And I had the wrong Q. Do I have the right one? Because this stuff got weird.
I think they're both the same, but you know, let's just see how this plays out. Let's just roll with it.
Okay, because the lot with like weird Wayfair catalogs and stuff, is that going to come up in this battle?
Possibly with some Pizzagate stuff happening. Who knows? Well, this is the Who Would Win show.
Yeah, I know there's reality warping because there was no basement of the pizza place, and then there was one, but now there isn't one. Okay, you know what? This tracks. Okay, yep. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this.
Look, who understands how quantum physics works? Look, I don't think we've ever done, you know, looking back on the history of the Who Would Win show, a godlike reality warper versus godlike reality warper before. But, you know, again, there's a first time for everything. And when you have such an epic battle with such huge and powerful characters, You need a judge who is as equally big and powerful to render a decision with the right perspective. Do we have such a person for today's episode of Who Would Win? Let's find out. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's a Turbo Team guy from the I Think You Should Leave show on Netflix. It's the clerk from Sharknado. It's Haystacks Calhoun from The Young Rock. You can even see him in an episode of Fraggle Rock. Oh, yeah. It's a massive human being with an even more massive IQ. It's the one. It's the only. It's Steve Mullen. Steve, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Well, hello. Thank you so much for having me back, James and Ray and Chan, if he's listening anywhere, thank you as well.
He may be.
It's a pleasure to be back here on Who Would Win. And I'm very excited for this matchup because I've got no ideas just yet.
All right, this is okay. This is going to be good. Look, before we get into this, please tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
Hey, that's funny you should say that. That is the name of my podcast that I've not done a new episode of in about 2 years. But let's see. I was doing a pretty fun side gig. Over the summer, I was driving minivan for a very big competition show. So that was a lot of fun. I got to spend a lot of time on the Universal backlot. And I even booked my first ever modeling gig.
Oh, wow.
And I will not tell you how you can see it, but it came along at just the right time. And it paid a somewhat decent little chunk of change. So that has been a big help. Now that the transpo gig has ended. Look, and other than that, you know, hunting for acting work, enjoying stuff, hitting a few cons here and there.
I don't want to spill the secret of your modeling gig, but maybe you should ask Victoria if she knows.
Ooh, Ray, you're flying too close to the sun.
You know, Victoria's Steve, you know, son. You're, ooh, I like that. Steve, you know, you've been everything from, you're the only person who could actually pull off a supermodel and also Haystacks Calhoun.
Both, you know, on opposite sides. I never said supermodel.
I may be just putting words into it, but I'm Legion of Audience assumes that's what it is. But look, the reality is you're the closest thing we've ever had on the Who Would Win show to an omniscient, you know, all-knowing, all-powerful, reality-warping type of being. Do you feel a kinship with these two characters from, you know, Star Trek and I guess DC Comics as well? I mean, this is just something you walk around on a day-to-day basis. How do you just even exist knowing that you could be, like, again, you bend reality to be Haystacks freaking Calhoun and then a supermodel?
You know, as Morpheus once said, there's a difference between walking the path and knowing you're walking the path. And I am not even sure if I am walking the path, but I definitely don't know how to walk the path. I can tell you that much. I do feel maybe a little bit of a closeness with Dr. Manhattan, just because if I'm not mistaken, when he was a human, his name was John, right? And I have a brother named John. So that's a kick. And then I've read Watchmen twice, but I've barely watched any Star Trek The Next Generation. So again, wow. I have a slightly the weakest connection you could imagine to Dr. Manhattan, and I've got pretty much no connection at all to Q.
Perfect.
But I'm very, very excited to see what you two have in store for how these two are going to battle it out. And then I will make a call, and I will not rely on a coin toss or the spinning of a battery.
These are all good things. I mean, just life advice being given by supermodel / Haystacks Calhoun, Steve Moulton. All right, look, this is all fantastic, but we got to get to today's episode. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Before I get that far, you know, I hate to push back on you, James, before we even get to the hype, but you said earlier, you said we've never done two omniscient, you know, all powerful characters on the show before, but we have done Ray versus James as a battle. So I don't think you're right about that one. That's all I'm going to say.
Not only do I stand corrected, but I'm flattered that Ray thinks I'm an all-powerful being. You heard it here first, Legion of Audience, well, Ray Stakanis.
I guess
loving who I am, calling me an all-powerful, omniscient, reality-warping, godlike creature. Ray Stakanis, you and I are now best friends.
I guess if you were truly omniscient, though, you would have known that, and I wouldn't have had to tell you. So maybe I'm proving myself wrong.
That's fair. All right, so again, do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing DC Comics, the hero who got booed off stage at a comedy club. Well, to be fair, his act was a little blue. Dr. Manhattan. And representing Star Trek, the Q you probably don't want the A for. Q.
The A could be so many things. All right, before
about
well
that.
Done, Ray. Before before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, and with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. That's sayword.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch section to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary 3D printed Who Would Win versus stand. And now let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Q.
Q is more or less a god in the Star Trek universe. First appearing in Star Trek The Next Generation's pilot, Encounter at Farpoint, back in 1987. Q was created by Gene Roddenberry and DC Fontana, and was played very well by John DeLancey. Originally putting humanity on trial as a destructive force in the universe, Q generally appeared about once a season, in the best episodes in my opinion, on Star Trek The Next Generation, but has appeared on lots of other Star Trek properties since then. Possessing unfathomable godlike powers, Q went from judging the crew of the Enterprise to later just messing with them, to helping guide their moral center through challenges, and sometimes even, in fact, asking for their help. You never know what direction a Q episode would go in, but you could be sure that it was never going to be boring. Fun fact, Q is an enigma amongst the stars, but did you know his name comes from a much more simple appreciation? Yes, Q was named after Janet Quarton, the first president of the UK Star Trek fan club. Her and Gene Roddenberry became friends as she helped push Star Trek's popularity forward in the UK, and as a tribute, Gene used the first letter of her last name to name his most powerful character. That's a heck of a tribute, and that is Q.
Well done. Now, here are the important details for Dr. Manhattan. Dr. Manhattan, a character from DC Comics and Vertigo, if you will, is a near omnipotent being with godlike powers, including control over matter at the atomic level, perception of time as a unified whole, and invulnerability. Created by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons, he first appeared in Watchmen number 1 in September of 1986. By the way, how crazy is it that both of these characters are almost the exact same age?
That's
one being
crazy.
Created in 86, the other one in 87. I love it. And he was a seminal graphic novel published by DC Comics, formerly Dr. Jonathan Osterman, a physicist. His transformation into Dr. Manhattan occurred after a tragic accident in a government lab. Disassembled at the subatomic level, he reassembled himself with abilities that transcend human comprehension, making him a key figure in the Watchmen narrative. As a character, he represents themes of existentialism, the consequences of godlike power, and humanity's fragility. And here's an interesting fact about Dr. Manhattan. Did you know that according to scientists, his powers are actually more realistic than Superman's? It's true. According to James Kakalias, a noted physics professor who worked as a scientist consultant for the movie adaptation of Watchmen, the intrinsic field generator that gives Osterman his powers, and even his powers themselves, have a basis in reality. The intrinsic field, whatever you want to call it, is powered by electromagnetic forces, as well as strong and weak forces, which Kakalias claims would be necessary for a person or device to be able to manipulate matter in the way that Dr. Manhattan does. All that means is there's a way, scientifically and theoretically speaking, for Dr. Manhattan's powers to actually be a thing. Additionally, his teleportation abilities could be explained through quantum tunneling, what Ray and I were talking about the other day, of course. Despite the wide array of powers that he exhibits, all of them are fairly believable within the realm of physics, oddly enough. So basically, while we don't have a Dr. Manhattan in our world yet, it's more likely that he could exist in real life than a being like Superman, at least according to scientists. How weird is that? And now you have the facts of both opponents. Steve, do you have any questions before we get started?
No questions just yet. I'm just very eager to see what kind of tactics and trickery you guys are going to bring to the table for these two super beings here.
I mean, no tactics and trickery are really needed. Outrageous. On my part, but we'll see what Ray has to do. All right, Ray, do what you got to do. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Q. Let's just talk about the basics of his reality warping. That's the level of competition we're talking about today. We're starting with reality warping, what would normally be my point number three. Unbelievable. Well, Q is a being, and he's as old or just slightly younger than the entirety of time itself. Now, Dr. Manhattan hasn't been around cosmically as long as Q. Q's been around a long, 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 long time and has thus seen everything, done everything, knows everything. And Dr. Manhattan is kind of like a small child. And it's almost Thanksgiving, so a small child at the kids' table when it comes to Q and his cosmic level powers. You ever know about the kids' table? Like, you got to wait for somebody to kick off so then you can... Yeah, anyway, the point I'm trying to be here is that reality warping is huge. Q will just appear anywhere he wants to, wearing anything he wants to, moment by moment. He will change his outfit repeatedly over the course of an entire scene on Star Trek The Next Generation. Heck, he could summon whatever he wants to. He summoned a mariachi band on a whim just to punctuate his point and have some fun. And if I remember right, he changed his outfit to be a mariachi outfit. There is no essential limit to what Q can do. If he can imagine it, if he can think it, if he wants it, it just happens with the blink of an eye, the flick of a wrist, whatever you would say. Now, Dr. Manhattan, near as I can tell, is sort of more science-based in his approach and his omnipotence, which does limit his power, as opposed to, in my mind, the more magical creation of Q. As I will always say, unless I'm arguing it the other way, magic has no upper limit to it, but science does. And that's going to keep Dr. Manhattan down in a battle like this. A couple more things that Q can do. He can change anything he wants to's size, down to an atom. He once shrunk the USS Voyager, the starship, down to subatomic particles because he wanted to. What's to say he can't just make Dr. Manhattan poof essentially into that quantum zone of Ant-Man and just disappear by being too small? I don't know what. He was able to breach the warp core of the Enterprise with just a thought. He once put a big, like, net around the Enterprise, preventing it from going anywhere. And another cool thing that he can do, and I'll get into this a little bit later, is he can change and distort reality to meet the expectations of his target. When he took some regular humans to the Q continuum realm, he had to do it in such a way that their brains could perceive it. So it's often portrayed as like, a gas station in the middle of nowhere with like desert all around it, because it has to be something that they can wrap their heads around, even though it's this whole multiversal deal right there. I have a point to make later. I just want to put this on the record early that he can obviously read people's thoughts, minds. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And he knows what that person is expecting to see. He knows what that person expects to see as possible and then can present a version of that to them if he so desires. And the most powerful reality warping that I saw was during, I believe, like a Robin Hood style episode where he dressed up Worf in a pink colored merry man outfit. And if you can put Worf in that shade of red, you can do just about anything, my friends. And that is my point number one.
First of all, Worf looked great in that shade of red. That was absolutely fantastic. You know, in terms of reality warping, Dr. Manhattan can do that, do the same thing. Here's the thing. Q exists within, you know, the Star Trek reality, unless he's in the Q continuum. Whereas, you know, Dr. Manhattan actually creates realities entirely. You know, you're talking about these pocket dimensions that Q can kind of send them to, and they're just really kind of pocket dimensions. They're not full-blown dimensions, what have you. And Dr. Manhattan actually creates and then destroys full-blown dimensions. Just putting that out there. The mariachi band was summoned, sure, but not paid. Fun fact in that Star Trek episode. Not cool of Q to do that. Dr. Manhattan sees magic. This is actually really interesting. He sees magic in the DC universe. He sees it just as another form of energy that he can actually easily control and dissipate. It means nothing to him because he just sees it like everything else. Going subatomic, you know, in size, easily something that he's done before. He can grow back to size. That's not going to be a thing. So on top of that, he can also, he's omniscient as well. He sees everything and he loves to kind of, you know, play and just see what's going to happen. That's the only time he doesn't see everything. But even then, he sees all the iterations of what could happen when he sets something in motion. So seeing to the future is also something he can do very easily. Let me get to my point number one for Dr. Manhattan. Let's just talk about some of his powers. Of course, you know, you've got reality warping, which is another way of saying atomic manipulation. It's a signature power. He can break down, reassemble matter at will. And that matter could also be reality. For example, after his like tragic accident that just kind of blew him apart, he reconstructed his own body atom by atom, returning as this glowing blue skin being we know today. He can also disintegrate objects or people with a wave of his hand. This is something he's done all the time. He can just use atomic manipulation to create, destroy, change, change as he wants to. He's also got something pretty interesting. It's a non-linear perception of time. He experiences time all at once. That's past, present, future. They're all simultaneous to him. This means he knows how events are going to unfold, you know, and can change them. It's kind of like more of a philosophical thing he likes to observe. So whatever's going to happen, he's already seen it. He's already seen the past. He's seen the present. He's seen the future. And again, it all exists at the same time. He's got superhuman strength and invulnerability. Look, this is just something that's fun to do. He actually took on Superman. Superman couldn't do anything to him. And he just kind of toyed with him easily because he can make himself as strong as he wants to be, and physical pain, you know, whatever strength, but he can do it all. He's got energy manipulation, projection. Of course, he can generate, control vast amounts of energy. He can power cities, destroy planets, create massive explosions. You know, he vaporizes entire countries just with a whim. It's just something he loves to do. He's also got this power of quantum cloning. It's kind of beyond duplication. He can create long-lasting, these autonomous copies of himself, each capable of independent thought and action. And these clones aren't illusions or like, you know, hey, if there's four, then they each get a quarter of his power. No, no, no. They are all fully functional, full-powered versions of him. So, hey, if he's taking on whatever he needs to, and he's like, hey, you know what would be not really great in this fight, you know, that I'm involved right now? More of me. And he can just generate an army of me, Dr. Manhattan, I should say, very quickly. On top of that, he can teleport. He can go wherever he wants to in the universe, to other dimensions. Multiverse to multiverse travel is not a problem. He's immortal, of course. He doesn't need to eat, breathe, whatever. He's made up of energy, so good luck hurting him. He loves to create life. He likes to create entire universes. He manipulates DC's timeline. And this is kind of funny. I actually hate Dr. Manhattan for what I'm about to say. It was thanks to him that he created the New 52. In case you're wondering, in 2011, DC Comics decided to reboot, and all of a sudden, all of the main characters, Superman, Batman, they're much younger, less experienced versions of themselves, which with much different histories and backstories. Everything got changed throughout the DC multiverse, which is a collection of many, many dimensions all put together, and that's all thanks to Dr. Manhattan. I'll explain more of that later, but let's just say that's something that Q couldn't do to affect every freaking dimension within the Star Trek greater multiverse. That's a fact. All of that is my point number one.
What are you talking about? Q couldn't do that. Q jumps between multiverses and does whatever the heck he wants to do. Dr. Manhattan doesn't really travel in time per se, like Q does. I'll get into that later. Dr. Manhattan is limited to the scope of his entire life because he is living all of his own timeline simultaneously at all times. So the first moments of Dr. Manhattan have full knowledge of everything yet to come and vice versa. It's it's a cool concept, to be fair, but that is severely limiting in Dr. Manhattan's time when Q can do the things I'm about to tell you about. So at the end of the day, one of these is a very, very powerful character in his own right. And to me, no doubt, any regular person who comes against him is absolutely boned. But Q is just on a level so much deeper, so much cosmically bigger. And that's the biggest difference between these two.
Oh, I can't wait to prove you wrong on that. But that doesn't matter right now because we have to go back to our judge, Steve Moulton, and figure out where his head at. Steve, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where do you think this battle is going? Who do you think is kind of doing something special with it so far?
You know, it's only round one. I've heard a lot of good stuff. I've learned a lot of new stuff about these two fighters. I never really knew that Q was basically as old as time itself, and I do think that gives him quite a bit of an advantage over good old Dr. Manhattan. John Osterman, right? Have I got that right? I always just want to say Oppenheimer, but that's a different guy. But yeah, so certainly even though it's now 2024, Dr. Manhattan just has not been at it quite as long. So there is that. On the other hand, I completely forgot that he was the one responsible for the New 52. And that's a pretty impressive feat of omnipotence and reality destroying, distorting, bending, and ascending. So right now, I think Q's a tiny bit in the lead, but it's only round one. It's still anybody's game, guys.
This is going to be a tough battle, but there's some stuff that's about to come out for both Ray and myself in our following points. Stay tuned for point number two.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Ray, hit us with your point number two.
I mean, that's the thing. And sometimes we talk about some of these reality warpers like Lobo and whatever. And it's just like, okay, some of these like rolling up a city and eating it is a little bit of an outlier. But with Q in particular, it's not. This is just stuff he does all the time. But for my point number two with Q, I want to talk specifically about sort of fighting, which is a little bit weird for Q because he doesn't fight per se, because he doesn't have to. If you present yourself as a threat, he laughs at you. If you present yourself as a major threat, he laughs harder. Nobody can hurt Q in the tangible realms, right? But he can do basically whatever he wants at any time. So he's patient. He sits back. He watches. He tries to teach humanity lessons that Dr. Manhattan could, quite frankly, sorely learn from. And physically, there's nobody that could even, like, scratch him. You know, he got shot with a Q weapon. Now, these Q weapons appear all throughout this, like, Q Civil War that happened in the Star Trek storylines. And supposedly, these Q weapons made by other Qs are the thing that could, like, hurt, potentially kill Q character. But he was shot with one that created a supernova in our material realm, and he was fine. He walked away from it as if nothing had happened. Which is why I sit back and I go, I don't know if Dr. Manhattan tries that Rorschach blow up your insides bit, it's just not going to do anything because Q won't let it do anything because Q exists on a plane of existence far superseding our own. The only real weakness that the Qs have as a species are these Q weapons that they themselves create and power. I don't see how Dr. Manhattan can hang. And not only that, Qs can withstand the powers of other Qs. They have what's called the Q continuum. And it's very, very complicated, a way above my pay grade to possibly understand it. But the gist of all of this is that Qs can interact and mess with each other and potentially hurt each other. And that's just it. That's about it, though. Nobody else can. There are other gods in the Star Trek universe. And you ask Q about these other gods in the Star Trek universe, and he makes fun of them. He doesn't think they're particularly powerful because he's seen what real power actually is. Q himself has survived the collapsing of an alternate timeline universe. He was, you know, like they do the pruning at the TVA in the Loki show and everything. Well, he survived a universe getting literally collapsed upon itself and just bounced over to the next one and kept on going. In fact, a different Q was a suicidal, okay? He wanted to die. And as a Q, he was completely unable to kill himself. So even a Q couldn't do it to himself. If I remember the storyline correctly, he had to get changed back into, not back into, but changed into a human with human frailties, and then they took that guy out. But do you honestly believe in a battle with Q versus Dr. Manhattan, Q's going to somehow stop himself from being ultra-powerful? It's what he lives for. He wants to be the most powerful character on the scene at all times, and he has no problem flaunting that power. He has no problem telling you stuff that he's done to scare you, and he has no problem following through with every single one of those threats, because every living creature, Dr. Manhattan included to Q, is but an ant in a farm. And that's the difference, and that's my point number two.
Okay, so this is where things get really interesting to me, because, Ray, you're right. In the Star Trek universe,
thank you.
There's
battle's
Q.
Over.
Fair enough. You can find us on Apple Podcast. Okay, here's the deal. There's the Q continuum, right? And the Q continuum keeps Q in check. So Q is as powerful as it is. There's also this team or group of many Qs in the Q continuum that keep Q in check. And Q can't just run roughshod because there's this Q continuum. To juxtapose that, that's my new word of the day, by the way, with Dr. Manhattan, in the DC multiverse, you have many Q-level beings that exist, like a Mr. Mixes Pitalik, amongst many others, Phantom Stranger, you know, all these kind of creature beings that are like godlike, whatever, and can do crazy stuff, and, you know, alter reality. And Dr. Manhattan rewrote the DC multiverse, all of the different ones with all these godlike beings, like it was nothing. In fact, the only thing that stopped Dr. Manhattan was himself deciding to take a new path. No one else could touch him, literally do anything to him, including Superman, who's not a god-level being, mind you. But all these other god-level beings within the DC Universe were powerless and at the mercy of Dr. Manhattan. Look, there's a Q-level power, and then there's Dr. Manhattan, who's a few tiers above. Now, let me kind of get to my point number two, because let's talk more about his powers. Now, of course, with Dr. Manhattan, he's got reality manipulation, but this is something that's a little bit different than what Q can do. Q can rewrite parts and aspects of reality, bring a mariachi band to life, you know, send the Star Trek Enterprise billions of light years away, and all of a sudden they're facing the Borg for the first time, create these pockets. That's cool, but that's not the same level what Dr. Manhattan can do. He can literally rip apart a reality, rebuild it, and all of it. It's like Q plays within a sandbox and changes the rules in the sandbox, whereas Dr. Manhattan creates and destroys the actual sandbox that Q exists within. Now, of course, that he's got crazy teleportation. He can send planets, galaxies to other parts within the universe. So you're talking about, again, different levels of power compared to what Q can do. Now, of course, there's time manipulation. Time is a plaything for Dr. Manhattan. He's been known to rewind or fast forward events to suit his needs. For example, during a really cool storyline, he reversed time to prevent this catastrophic event, but left subtle hints for the heroes to change the outcome, because that's what he does. Remember, this is someone who removed a chunk of time. More on that later. He's great at illusions and mind games. This is someone that causes Batman. I know we're talking about Q and all that, but if you can fool Batman easily many times, your illusions, your mind games are insanely good. And of course, he put Batman to this kind of really crazy mind maze, and Batman couldn't figure his way out because he was completely just not understanding what was happening. Of course, he's omniscient. Dr. Manhattan can understand the multiverse and multiple multiverses and the events unfolding across it. Again, we're not talking about a couple of different dimensions. Q exists within the Q continuum, his pocket dimensions, and the Star Trek dimension. Dr. Manhattan exists throughout all of the multiverses and different dimensions within the DC huge, greater, whatever you want to call it, existence. Of course, he's a great shapeshifter. You know, he can turn into the Green Lantern. He can turn into different characters. Now, that's a big thing. I just thought I'd bring it up. Of course, he's got the power of regeneration, reconstitution. I think that's equal to Q. Again, blow apart his physical body. He's just going to rebuild it very, very quickly. He's got the power of energy manipulation. He can absorb, redirect, unleash bursts of energy, sometimes to crazy, devastating effect. Remember, he absorbs realities and all the energies within the realities, the Mr. Mixes, Pitalix, and godlike beings. Superman was trying to come after him, and he just neutralized the energy within Superman and said, hey, I see there's that all that solar energy you've got. Gone. Superman's all of a sudden powerless, just something he loves doing. He's also got the power of dimensional awareness. Now, this is cool. He can perceive and kind of interact with alternate realities and dimensions. In Doomsday Clock, he demonstrates this by observing and manipulating the DC universe as a bigger thing. He became aware of parallel worlds and timelines. In fact, he even mentioned the Marvel universe and how Superman in the future would battle Thor and also be helped by the Hulk in a battle against Doomsday in 2030. Marvel, I hope you're waiting, because we've been wanting a DC Marvel crossover forever. Remember, this is someone who took out everything and everyone, every hero, every villain in the DC multiverse many times, because he was rebuilding, keep reconstructing, whatever, like it was nothing. And that includes the godlike beings within it. All of that is my point number two.
Okay, sure. Look, he's a very powerful reality warper, and this is all stuff that we already know. But unlike Q, he got tricked by a human. You said he outsmarted Batman. Great. But Ozymandias ran him around in circles and got him to do exactly what he wanted to. Some kind of omniscience you got there. And also, tachyon particles are his weakness. Tachyon particles are something that can cloud his vision, cloud his powers, and make him not as powerful as he could be. Q does not have a weakness like that, but Q has the sort of omniscience to know this about Dr. Manhattan just by existing. So all Q has to do is create tachyon particles everywhere, and Dr. Manhattan will be clouded. Dr. Manhattan will be shunted. It's a little bit like kryptonite, not really, but sort of, for Superman, in that Q will figure this out within a 0.100 milliseconds of meeting Dr. Manhattan, because he knows all. In fact, he probably knew it before they even met. This is the one time for sure that we can't say they have no knowledge of each other, because by its nature of these two characters, they both know who the other one is walking in the door. And he's faced a Q. Dr. Manhattan, to my understanding, hasn't really faced off against a lot of reality warpers. However, Q has faced other Qs before. There was a Q Civil War, and when he was forced to fight against another reality warper, he just slipped into a parallel universe and then put a plan together in about a second, and then he slips back in again and then makes the thing happen. Q is that good. Dr. Manhattan, unfortunately, though, has weaknesses.
All interesting stuff, which I think I can counter, but that's going to have to wait for now because we are at the turning point. Steve, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
I never thought I'd say it, but I think Q is still ahead right now, pointing out that that Dr. Manhattan was kind of led around by the tail by the nefarious Julian Veidt, a.k.a. I've never known how to pronounce his name.
Ozymandias?
Ozymandias?
I call him the OxyClean guy.
There you go, the OxyClean guy. But, you know, that guy, he was definitely a mastermind, and he kind of, he led Dr. Manhattan around by the tail. And I think round two is also going to Q, just like round one did. This is scary to me. When I first learned who I was going up against, I was like, well, I like Dr. Manhattan. It'll probably just be him. I've seen him grow real tall. I saw the Watchmen series where he pretended to be a husband for a while. It'll probably be Dr. Manhattan. But I'm learning a lot about Q. And what I'm learning about Q is giving him the advantage. And it's scary.
It is scary. It's a fun fight to think about. It's definitely scary in terms of the proportionality of all this.
I might not sleep tonight, James. I might not sleep tonight.
I'm gonna say I don't believe you because as a reality warper, again, going from Haystacks Calhoun to Victoria's Secret supermodel within the blink of an eye, I'm pretty sure you have the power to overcome anything that would disturb your sleep. Just putting that out there. All right, this battle is gonna get absolutely insane. Trust me on this. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three is the stuff that was too big to mention before this. If I'm ahead on point one and I'm ahead on point two, I don't know how we slip up here because this is ridiculous. Some of the other things that Q has done without really thinking about it. He turned Voyager, the starship, into a Christmas ornament and he hung it on a Christmas tree. I don't fully understand how that works, but that's a thing that Q has done. One of my favorite moments that really, it stuck with me ever since I saw it back when it happened back in the late 80s, early 90s, whenever I saw this syndicated episode of Next Generation, is Q had a loved one for a while, right? And he was kind of living a more simple life, I think like on a farm, and aliens came and they ended up like killing his family as he was trying to live like a simple soul, you know, of the land. And he got so mad. And he got so upset, he says, I eradicated them. And the other person in the show was just like, oh, so you mean you, like, killed the people who did it? He's like, no. The entire species of the people who did it ceased to exist in that moment. He chose an entire species spread throughout the universe and eradicated all of them for taking out one of his loved ones. And he did it with a thought. Dr. Manhattan can't hang with that. He does great things, but we're just talking one or two cuts above right now. Q has been stated to be able to change the laws of physics universally. What that means is he said on the show before that he could just make the center of gravity move. He could just make it so that gravity now works differently in the entire universe if he wanted to. This is high-level stuff we're talking about right here. And he has full omniscience. He knows everything that has happened, everything that will happen. He's been around essentially since the start of time. He's definitely been around earlier than 1929, which is when Dr. Manhattan was born, a time period that Dr. Manhattan cannot go back in front of, but Q can. Q could go back in time and make the difference he needed to stop Dr. Manhattan from even existing. And at one point in one of the shows, Q got stripped of all of his Q powers. You know, the Qs can like mess with each other. The only thing that could stop a Q is another Q. He got stripped of his powers. He still launched an IQ of 2005. This guy knows stuff. And even if you strip away his godlike powers, he can still do basically anything he wants to do. Time is a construct to Q. He can freeze time whenever he wants to and move around it. He can negate time and make it so that time no longer exists as a concept if he wants to. He also has powers over the living and the dead. He can kill anybody. He can resurrect anybody. He made Picard come back to life because he liked him. He liked hanging out with him. And one time he took Picard back to the very beginning of time itself, and they just hung out there and had a philosophical conversation. This is who Q is. He also, let's get to the nitty-gritty of it. He can create his own pockets of reality off our universe and trap people there. He's done that to people on Star Trek before. Dr. Manhattan is great and all, but when Q sticks him in his own pocket dimension, he's going to be stuck there for as long as Q wants him to be stuck there. Another thing that Qs can do, and I mentioned it before, they could take and give their power to others with no net loss to themselves, or even negate another Q's power. If he could go to any other Q and be like, bloop, you no longer have powers, you're a human, he can do the same thing to Dr. Manhattan, changing him back to John. And my final belief of how Q wins his battle, which I'll save for the rebuttal so James can't do anything about it, will involve that concept. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But for now, just that is my point number three.
All right, lots to kind of push back here. Here's the thing. So he turned Voyager into a Christmas ornament. I believe that Dr. Manhattan actually changed a planet into some marbles. So not that Q couldn't do that. I'm just saying that reality, that the atomic manipulation. Yeah, Dr. Manhattan can do that all day, every day, just on a much bigger scale. You know, Dr. Manhattan has destroyed universes with the thought, not just, you know, large, you know, groups of people or species. He's literally destroyed universes with the thought. That's completely different. Q can actually not change gravity. He can't do that whatsoever because of the rules of the Q continuum. More on that in my point number three. He actually does have restrictions. Q can freeze time, he can stop time, but he can't destroy or create time. That is something that, you know, the fabric of time itself, that's a fact, but that is something Dr. Manhattan can do. He can only, you know, create pocket dimensions in terms of what Q can do, and that's cool. And again, we're talking about Dr. Manhattan, who's created multiverses with all the dimensions within the multiverse that he creates, kind of a different thing. Traveling between them is not going to be a problem. And Dr. Fate tried to take away Dr. Manhattan's power with some other very powerful beings within the DC universe. They tried to take everything away. They thought they had the plan. And Dr. Manhattan just kind of looked at him and said, yeah, it's not going to work, and actually absorb their energy and stop them. So good luck with that. Now, let me get to my point number three. Before I really get into point number three, the whole tachyon particle thing that was talked about in The Watchmen, the 1986 comic book series, or the graphic novel, I should say, here's the thing with that. Yeah, it did work. And because it worked so well, Dr. Manhattan figured it out and said, got it. That was a blind spot. Now I understand. And I'm going to move past it because now I get how that works. So what did he do? He became this crazy time traveling, time manipulation, time creation, time destroying being and creating multiverses from it. So all of a sudden, this tachyon thing that created this blind spot, and the way he was manipulated, can never happen again. In fact, it never did. Batman couldn't figure him out for the longest time. So there you go. He's not being manipulated. Now, Q's got great power. I get it. It doesn't measure up to Dr. Manhattan's. Q can move throughout time, pause it, see the past. I mentioned that before. He can't create or remove it like Dr. Manhattan. Again, I talked about the New 52 from DC Comics, and everyone, by the way, should hate it as much as I did. It got rebooted. All the characters are now 10 years older. It was a weird thing. Some things were kind of cool. Most of it sucked. Trust me on this. You know, but that's the thing. 10 years were taken away from the entire multiverse. 10 years were removed. And then everything got chunked. How do you remove or destroy time itself? Well, Dr. Manhattan figured that out. That is something Q cannot do. He can make someone move through it, jump through time, whatever, but he's not creating time or destroying time. That's something Dr. Manhattan has control over. On top of that, Q's got some pretty hardcore restrictions that Dr. Manhattan does not. Now, for example, Q has to abide, I mentioned this before, the rules of the Q continuum. So the Q continuum, that governing body Ray talked about, a society for the Q, which are other beings like Q, they've got imposed rules to maintain balance, prevent chaos in the universe, especially those that deal with tampering with time and the fabric of space. This ensures that that Q himself doesn't cause these crazy, irreversible damage and chaos. So if he wants to change gravity, he can't. That's the thing with Q. Q talks a lot about how great he is. Dr. Manhattan doesn't. Q will exaggerate what he can do, saying, I can change gravity. The Q continuum has already stated that he can't do it. And what happens when Q breaks the rules or crosses a line, yeah, they come after him, rob him of his powers, or at least discipline him. That's the problem with this, because in this fight, Q's going to have to cross all of those lines, and maybe he can call the Q continuum to help him, but those are outside the rules of who would win. You get no outside help. So just to even take on Dr. Manhattan with everything Dr. Manhattan can do, Q has to break rules he can't do because they're already imposed on him by the Q continuum. On top of that, Q can manipulate and travel through time. Dr. Manhattan can literally remove chunks of time from existence. He can destroy time and everything in it, which includes Q. Again, Mr. Mixes Pitalik, the closest thing the DC Comics has to Q, got removed and completely destroyed, recreated, manipulated, everything you can think of. Dr. Manhattan did that to that guy, who is at least as powerful as Q, probably way more powerful. If you can do that to Mrs. Pitalik, Q's got no chance of this. Again, he's creating multiverses. He's creating many dimensions at the same time. Q really operates in the Star Trek universe, his pocket dimensions, and, you know, the Q continuum, wherever that is. Again, Dr. Manhattan, he was aware of this Marvel universe and thought, you know, hey, I get how Superman's going to work with it. And on top of this, Dr. Manhattan is way more ruthless than Q. Look, when you destroy a universe and trillions of lives within them, something he's done many times, you got to understand he kind of cares about humanity, but doesn't really. He's just really trying to figure out himself. So he's going to destroy lives like it's nothing because he's cold and insanely ruthless unintentionally. Q has done some crazy stuff of that, I don't know, destroying a whole species magnitude, but removing trillions of lives, everyone from existence, and then just rebuilding it and then removing it again. Remember, that's something Dr. Manhattan did. Q, as crazy as he is, he's unpredictable. He's kind of like Loki with godlike powers, you know, whatever, but he's not ruthless like Dr. Manhattan. The only reason Dr. Manhattan let Superman live in that final showdown with Superman was because he realized Superman was a force of good. And he's like, you know what? I recognize something I want to be that Superman represents. And I understand now that Superman should exist in every multiverse, every timeline, whatever it is. Therefore, you know what? The fight's done. I know I could destroy Superman with a thought, but I'm going to let him live. And that's what stopped Dr. Manhattan from destroying all of the DC multiverse. He stopped himself. Good luck with that. If Mrs. Pitalik couldn't do it, Superman couldn't do it, and the entire godlike pantheon that exists within the DC universe got manipulated like nothing because of Dr. Manhattan, what he can do, Q has no chance, especially with the rules of the Q continuum. All of that's my point number three.
Look, Dr. Manhattan has a lot of powers on the pages of DC Comics. Meanwhile, Q can handle basically absolutely everything else. James, are we in a relay race right now? Because it can't help but feel like you're reaching. And you say, oh, well, he got fooled by Ozymandias that one time, but it could never happen again, but it did happen. That's the entire point. Q's never been outsmarted that way before. He's actually omniscient. Ozymandias ran circles around him. You don't think somebody with full omniscience and knowledge of everything that has happened, is happening, and will ever happen couldn't also figure out a plot to run circles around Dr. Manhattan again? If a human can do it, so can a literal god. And you say this, Q can't do it because he's limited by the Q continuum. No, James. This is where you're misrepresenting the truth. He can do it, but he knows that there are consequences that are bad if he does do it. But in the confines of this battle, the Q continuum can't come in and interfere, as you just said. So any consequences are going to happen after the battle is over. And considering the fact that the Q continuum has like ended timelines and ruptured universes and made them go away, it's going to have to be a lot more than what he can do to Dr. Manhattan to do it. Outside interference is not going to matter. Dr. Manhattan is personality-wise, he's aloof. He's a guy who watches humanity, doesn't necessarily like getting involved if he doesn't have to. Q loves getting involved. This is a huge difference in personality between the two of them. Dr. Manhattan would be happy just sitting on the moon, making his diamond palaces, and people leaving him alone. Q seeks out other life forms to mess with them because he knows he can. Manhattan doesn't want none of this smoke at the end of the day. And I mentioned before, Q can change reality to meet the expectations of his target. And this is where I think ultimately he wins this battle. Because he could just eradicate Dr. Manhattan from existence, or he could create a reality around Dr. Manhattan, showing him as a depowered individual, because Dr. Manhattan sees all of time together at the same time. Dr. Manhattan doesn't always understand or know what time period he is in. So if knowing all of this, because Q is omniscient, he created a world around Dr. Manhattan where he thought he was in the past, living his life with no powers, and he's as his old self again, Dr. Manhattan would not even know to use his powers, and if he could keep that up for 2 minutes, which I believe he could, especially if he surrounds the whole area with tachyons and stuff, or other stuff that he could figure out with his god powers to block Dr. Manhattan's ability to know what's going on, essentially, he just has Dr. Manhattan watching a TV show like Seinfeld in a cabin back in the day, or, you know, it was older back then. He's watching The Wizard of Oz in a movie theater, and he doesn't know the difference because he perceives all of time at the same time. If he just keeps Dr. Manhattan in an illusion, I think it would work to pacify him for the needed time to win a battle on the Who Would Win show. At the end of the day, the doomsday clock is ticking, but it's ticking for Dr. Manhattan.
Very dramatic at the end of there, Ray. All right,
we tried,
listen.
But we went for it. We went for it.
It was good. All right, Steve, you heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Steve has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
This is a very epic battle on the Who Would Win Show, maybe the biggest battle of all time. So we need to pick a patron who represents a certain royalty. And of course, you know who I mean by that. Today's patron of the week is Lord Snurts.
I did not expect Lord Snurts to make an appearance today. You know what? Then let's give Lord Snurts the perfect opponent, someone who Ray Cicanus can't stand, would love to just see go down horribly in a Who Would Win battle. Let's have Lord Snurts go up against Lupin the Third.
Wow, Lupin the Third. I think this is like his third time being represented on the patron of the week. But that being said, Lupin the Third is a master spy. He's a master of disguise. He's very, very good at being stealthy, but he's also a very good crack shot with his Walther P-38 gun as well. Not that I know anything about Lupin the Third off the top of my head. The point is Lord Snurts has an army. Lord Snurts is essentially the Baron of Cagliostro, and Lupin the Third has to break into his castle in order to retrieve the princess from the wedding she does not want to be at. If you have not seen the castle of Cagliostro, the Hayao Miyazaki opus from the 70s, one of the greatest animated films of all time. The point I'm trying to make here is Lupin will get in. Lupin will get past Lord Snurts' guard. Lord Snurts will don his armor and his sword, and he will attack Lupin the Third. And he will emerge victorious in that battle in so much as Lupin the Third will duck out of a window with the princess escaping. Now, that means Lupin the Third technically won the encounter, but this is a Who Would Win battle, not a life battle. And so, therefore, Lord Snurts wins the battle because Lupin the Third completed his mission and he, battlefield, removed himself. Thank you, Lord Snurts. You're our patron of the week. James, how could someone else be a patron of the week?
Well, listen, all you have to do to become a celebrated patron of the week is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Steve, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Dr. Manhattan and Q.
Well, this is terrifying because they're both pretty close to evenly matched. And I would picture it happening maybe when Manhattan's just chilling on the surface of Mars, having one of his long meditations where he's experiencing everything at the same time and sitting there alone on a rock on the red planet. And perhaps Q just pops up and decides to meet him for the first time, and they decide they're going to have to go at it. And, you know, maybe Q is reaching backward through time to prevent John Osterman from ever even being born. But maybe Dr. Manhattan, being who he is, it sounds like he could probably prevent such a thing from happening. And worlds are shattering, and mountain ranges are cracking up through whatever planet they're on and reaching so high that they pierce the sun. And so many things are going wrong throughout the universe as Q and Dr. Manhattan are trying to destroy each other, or perhaps just remove the other guy from the battlefield. And I'm worried that our sun is going to explode, or maybe even the center of the Milky Way might collapse in on itself if it isn't already doing that. I'm not exactly sure. But I think when it comes down to brass tacks, I think Q is just going to find that edge and destroy Dr. Manhattan. Or perhaps maybe only battlefield remove him. But I feel like we know Manhattan brought himself back from the dead, so to speak. I feel like Q's got a trick up his sleeve where he's going to be able to essentially obliterate Manhattan, Dr. Manhattan, the guy, for at least 2 minutes before Dr. Manhattan's going to be able to realize what has happened to him and that he has put himself together before and he can do it again. I think Q has the upper edge, the upper hand, the sharper edge. I think his age gives him that edge. And then there's one reason, aside from Ozymandias, the Ozymandias oversight, as I like to call it when I'm talking with my family, and not Dr. Manhattan not being able to see Ozymandias' trickery during that time. But I've read Watchmen twice. I've seen the movie at least three times, maybe even four. And let's just say I've never had to see Q's junk, but I've had to see Dr. Manhattan's junk like seven times. And so I think for an all-powerful being who can't even think, maybe I'll slap some shorts on before I materialize in the middle of this here room, I feel like he's still got a little bit to learn. And I think Q, as much as I can't believe I'm saying it, I think a Star Trek character has got the edge in this one over a DC god. And I think Q is who would win.
This is interesting. I'm going to have to disagree completely for two basic reasons. Number one, I already kind of said he figured out where his blind spot was, and then that's why they brought him back 25 years later in the DC universe, and then time tachyons and all that was never a factor ever again. But also, he's destroyed the multiverses within, and within them, there were Q-level beings, possibly more powerful beings than Q, wiser, even more intelligent, more omniscient, and he destroyed all of them with ease. That's why I got to push back on it. With that being said, I respect your decision. What I respect the most, this is what I love when judges do, and you did this one really great today, Steve, is you came in with like, hey, I kind of favor this character, but you listen to the facts, you listen to what Ray had to say, and you came up, I don't agree with it, but I respect the decision. I can see why you think you came up with that, especially because I think you're leaning on the fact that Q has a lot more kind of life experience and kind of like hands-on experience, like dealing with other Q people. But again, I don't think that overcomes Dr. Manhattan's ability to destroy everything and everyone Q level within the universe. But with that being said, this is why the judges make the decisions. It was a hard one today. I don't envy what you did. Again, I respect what you did. You're awesome. With that being said, Race to Canis, congratulations. You got a well-earned win. Tell the Legion of Audience how you feel with today's victory.
I feel like I took this pillar to post from point one to point two all the way through to point three, and there was never a doubt in anyone's mind who was listening who was going to win this battle. I have a Star Trek character who appeared, I believe, on the pages of DC Comics, or are they Marvel Comics? I'm drawing a blank myself.
How did I lose this guy? It's a DC Comics.
I thought it was DC Comics. Then I started second guessing myself. You know why? Because I'm not Q. I don't have omniscience. It just seems like it sometimes. I forgot, and Steve even brought it up. Great point. When Dr. Manhattan was dematerialized, as Q could do, it took him days and weeks to rematerialize himself, but all I need is 2 minutes. That's a great point. I can't believe I had a blind side to this battle, and it didn't even matter. Ozymandias had tachyon particles around me to the point where I didn't even put that argument together in my own head, even though I danced around it the whole time. What I want to say is Q is great. I'm a believer in Q. I believe what Q tells me. And when Q tells me things, all I have to do is interpret them. I've spent 20 hours on message boards, and I really, now knowing what this show is all about, wish I had that time back. You can find me on Threads. We're not even doing that part yet. I'm experiencing time like Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, I think Dr. Manhattan's just got rid of some time for you. All right, listen, Steve, you came up with a great decision. Again, I completely disagree, but I respect the decision nonetheless because it came from another omnipotent reality warping being such as yourself. Please come back on the show. Bring your greatness, your awesomeness one more time to the show whenever you can. The fans love you. You're absolutely fantastic. Until you come back, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Well, first and foremost, I think everybody here, I think everybody listening needs to pray that we never actually find out what happens if Q fights Dr. Manhattan. This was fun to speculate on. We can't let it really happen. Other than that, see me on Netflix, on Peacock and Young Rock. You can see me on that Fraggle Rock episode that is on Apple TV Plus. I forget how Apple likes to call it. And you can find me on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, all three of those, @BigSteveMolton. I'm in the process of deleting that other one that that guy owns. And that's all I'll say about that. But this has been an absolute blast. I really never thought it was going to go Q's way. And I'm not even sure who I am right now. Did Q possess me? Is that what happened? Is that how he won? I'm not sure. But I know that no ties are allowed. So tonight it goes to Q. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. It's been a blast.
Steve, I got to tell you, you know, that social media platform you mentioned that you're trying to get yourself off of, I really think you should rethink that. Facebook's not that bad.
I'm pretty sure I'm bound to Facebook for all the rest of time.
As we all are, Steve. I know. As we all are.
It's weird. It feels weird.
Speaking of weird, Ray Sicanis got a great victory today. I'm a little suspect of the results, but it's all good because there's always another battle next week. Ray, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
It is nighttime. It is the week before Thanksgiving. I am starting my point number one. I am already dominating. Sorry, I keep experiencing time like Dr. Manhattan. I don't know what to do. And Steve, good for you. Delete your Mastodon account. That thing is crap and it was never good. I tried it. It was garbo. The point I'm trying to make here. Look, Q would win this fight. Dr. Manhattan is a beloved character. I've been wondering how the heck we ever have him on this show because he is a top of the top of the top level character. And the answer is you got to get another top of the top of the top of the top level characters in Q. And what a delight. What a delight this episode's been. What a delight Steve Moulton is. What a delight I am, James. You can find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316. I have a blue sky, I guess, but because that one's kind of crap too, and I think in 2 weeks we're all going to figure that out, don't worry about that.
We just lost our blue sky sponsorship package. Well done.
No, Grace blue again. Sky knows if they write a check, they can get my full endorsement. I dare them.
Fantastic. We did just pick up another endorsement from True Social, if you're up for it. Just putting that out there. All right. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Crying when Optimus Prime died.
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode.
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
Different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Are you a geek who likes sports?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, we hope it is good. Welcome to another edition of Geeks Who Like Sports.
The Yankees really kind of mailed it in. She's the Goblin Queen. Like, yeah. It's legit. Football 101. Take what the defense gives you.
The NBA All-Star Game is fake. The Emperor would absolutely throw Vader under the bus.
Listen or watch Geeks Who Like Sports on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Ray back one more time, and there is a 1-in-2 chance that I'm very happy with the results of this past episode. One more reminder that if you'd like to join in with the Legion of Audience, you can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and support what we do. That's it. That's the message. Time to start my research on next week's battle. I'll see you there.